Amen. It's good to be back here. I always consider it a real honor, a real privilege to be able to minister from this pulpit. It's a real honor, really, that your pastor would trust me to come and speak when he's gone. I think it's a really good thing that you gave them a vacation. All pastors need a good vacation from time to time. Many of us really don't understand, or how could we, because we've never walked in those shoes, the pressure and the things that pastors go through. I have a friend that's a pastor up in Oregon. He used to be, what do you call those guys that at the airports, that air traffic control. He says that was a high-stress job. But being a pastor doesn't even compare, you know, the pressure and all of that, the turmoil and, you know, the things that you go through is, he says, actually, that was pretty low stress compared to being a pastor. And it's true because there's just so many things that a pastor carries, and you really have to know how to give those burdens to the Lord. And so it's really good to have a time of refreshment from time to time where you can just kind of get away and focus your thoughts somewhere else and get refreshed. And so we'll trust that they come back very refreshed in the Lord with new vision, new purpose, and, you know, new things that God has been speaking. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray and just ask God's blessing, His anointing, upon the service today. It's already here. I really sense that as we worship the Lord today, that God is in the house. It's really good to know that God is here. Amen? How many know that God is always here? He's always here. It's just a question of us opening our hearts up to welcome Him and say, Lord, I want to be aware of Your presence, because I know His presence is here, because He says wherever two or three are gathered together, He's right there in the midst of us. And so He's here today. And I just want to encourage you to open your heart to what God might want to say today. Because I believe that His Word will not come back void, that His Word is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword, and that He really wants to touch us where it counts today. Amen? He wants to minister to our soul, our spirit, our body, and really feed us in that place where we need to be fed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that You are on the throne, that You are the God that we can come to, we can trust in, we can rely upon, because You are always there. And Lord, we pray today for each and every person that is here, that their hearts would be open to Your Word, to Your Spirit, as You desire to speak, as You desire to just communicate with us, Lord, what it is that's on Your heart. And so I pray, Lord, that You would anoint my words, anoint the hearts here, that we might hear together what Your Spirit desires to say unto the church. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. In verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He had an acute sense of an awareness there that his time was coming. His time on earth was up. And we know that in times past, he had written and said, to live is to live for Christ, but to die is to gain. And so he's not afraid of where he's going. He understands where he's going. But it's the next passage here, the next scripture here, that I want to draw our attention to. He says, I have fought the good fight. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. In other words, he says, I have completed my course. I have completed that which was set on the table for me. He said, I didn't leave any scraps. I finished the whole thing. I completed it. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. He also had a sense of knowing and understanding of that which was still ahead for him. He knew that there laid up for him a reward, something that was greater than what he could even imagine. And I believe that as we look to the Lord and as we look to what is yet ahead for us, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But by His Spirit, He is revealing these things to us. And why is He doing that? He's revealing these things to us so that we can have the proper motivation, the proper understanding to complete that which God has put on our table. So that when we get to the end of our life, we can be like the Apostle Paul who said, I have finished my course. I have completed the destiny that God has given unto me. How many know that no matter who we are in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter who you are, we're all the same. Amen? We're all God's children. We have all been called with a holy calling. And He has given to each one of us a destiny. He's given us something that we must fulfill in this life. And our testimony should be that which Paul said here, that when we come to the end of our days, we can say, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, something that I did a long time ago, when I was very young in the Lord, and some people may say that, you know, this is presumption, but I don't believe it is. But I came to a place in my life where I resolved, where I said, I don't care who fails. I mean, I do care about the people that fail around me, and I care about their lives, but I'm not going to allow their testimonies and what happens to them to affect what God is doing in my life. I'm going to base my life on God's Word. I'm not going to base it on other people's circumstances and the things that are happening to them. And so I came to a place where I resolved in my heart that I would never backslide. That I would follow God all the days of my life, no matter how hard the road became, no matter how tough the situations in life were thrown at me. I said, I am going to finish the course. I am going to finish. I'm going to fight the fight. I'm going to, you know, be able to come to the end of my days and hopefully enter into the kingdom of God and have the Lord say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. I live for that. I really do. That's the greatest joy that I think I could ever have. The greatest compliment I could ever have is for the Lord to say to me, when I enter into His presence for eternity, well done, good and faithful servant. You did it. Amen. You completed it. You completed what I gave to you. But as I have grown in the Lord, even though I have made that resolve and it has taken, you know, it's working, but I understand that there are times where the enemy would like to detour me. He would like to get me off course, get me distracted, change my affections. And there has been times in my life where my affections have not been as on the Lord as they should have been. You know, we have a tendency in our lives when hard things happen, when difficult times happen, to transfer our affections onto something that is pleasing, something that is enjoyable, something that our soul, you know, takes delight in because it's kind of a release. It helps us to cope in a way, but what God wants us to do in those times is to draw closer to Him. And, excuse me, to keep our affection set on those things that are above. And so Paul was able to say at the end of his life that he had finished the race. He had completed and fulfilled the destiny that God had laid before him. I have finished the race. I have completed and fulfilled the destiny that God has for us, has for me. How many of us are going through life maybe with an attitude that yes, we have a destiny to fulfill, but we really don't care that much about it. We really don't care. We would rather settle into a place of complacency, serve the Lord in that place of complacency, rather than, you know, be constantly pressing in and fighting for the territory that God wants us to take. Because fighting is not always easy, is it? It's a struggle. The Bible says that this walk with Him is a struggle. That we struggle not against life, you know, against flesh and blood, but against principalities in heavenly places. Maybe at one time, and I believe that most of us really do care. But I think there are times in our life that things get thrown at us. Things come our way that causes us not to care so much. I can remember a few years ago in our life when we quit pastoring. There was a season, I can honestly say to you, where I didn't care. I really didn't care that much. I was still going through the motions. I was still being faithful. I was still, you know, even reading my Bible and doing all those things. But something happened in my heart. The intensity, the drive that I had was not there anymore. And it wasn't something that I could just immediately conjure up. Because what had happened is that, you know, through all the different struggles and things that we go through and the things that we had been through, you know, where people turn on you and that type of thing. And after a while, it gets to you. And if you're not careful, you know, you take it the wrong way and you don't deal with it in the right way. And Satan comes along and he tries to use that as something that would detour you from what God has put in your life. And I believe that that happens to all of us. And so what I'm talking about here this morning is this. What's holding you back from fulfilling your destiny? What's holding us back? Because we have a destiny, amen? We have something that God has put on our heart. And I believe that God wants us to fulfill that. I believe it's important for us to understand that when God saved us, He saved us from the pit of destruction. Amen? I mean, in my life, I was in the pit of destruction. If God had not reached out and touched me and brought me back from that place, I know that today I would be dead right now. I really cannot think of myself in that place where I was at of living much longer. I would have probably, I don't think I would have committed suicide or anything like that, but I would have just put myself in some situation that would have destroyed me. Because I was on a destructive path, a very destructive path. But when God saves us, when He calls us, when He reaches out, and this is the miracle of God. How many know that the Bible says, we love God because He first loved us. You know, there's a song that we sing today. It's called, I Found Jesus. How many know that you did not find Jesus? Jesus found you. It's Jesus who seeks and saves those who are lost. When Jesus apprehended me, I had no intention. I had no desire towards Him whatsoever. I was having fun. I was doing my own thing. I was going my own great time at it. But He apprehended me. He stopped me in my tracks. And He says, guess what? You're taught. Your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. It's kind of like a fish. How many have ever caught fish? And you get that fish on your line, and what does that fish wants to do? He wants to take that line, and he wants to, take it and run. And what do? At first, you let him run with it, don't you? You just give him the line, and you let him play. And after a while, you begin to draw him in. Begin to draw him in, and then you let him play a little bit more. And then you reel him in, let him, You keep going through that process until finally he's dead on the bank. And that's when you've caught him. And that's when the Lord gets us. He gets his hooks into our jaw, but when he gets his hook into us, we don't immediately respond the way we should. And that's what happened to me. I fought the Lord for 3 years. It was a 3-year fight. And guess what? He finally won. And when he won, he not only had so much mercy and favor with me by putting his love upon me, he also filled me with purpose, with destiny. He poured something into my life that was so much greater than that which I was trying to hang on to. And I would say today that there are some of us that are still trying to hang on to things. We're still trying to hang on to some of the things that are so precious to us. And God is saying, let go of those things. Because you're never going to fulfill your destiny until you let go and let me have complete control in your lives. And so today I want to talk about what's holding you back from fulfilling your destiny and calling in God. I am convinced that our well-being, our health, our financial provision, our prosperity, the attitude of walking in abundant life, that Jesus says, I have come to give you life, and that life will be more abundant. It will be a life that's filled with abundance. I am convinced that all of these things are on the path that leads to the fulfilling of the destiny that God has for us. That is a path that is not full of self-will. It is a path that is that denies itself. Paul said, "I die daily." And so often I think what we do as Christians is this: is that we want to remain in control. We want to, just have that sense that, I'm calling the shots. And we're not really willing to lay it all down for Him and to pick up the cross that leads to that destiny that He has for us. And what we try to do is walk on a path that is contrary to His will and His purpose. It's a path that's contrary to what He's doing in our lives. And so even though we're saved, we're still wrestling with God. We're still walking in a way that is displeasing to Him. And then we begin to wonder, why is the prosperity not coming? Why is the health not coming? Why is the provision not coming? Why are not all of these things that pertain unto life and godliness that are a part of our covenant that He has made with us, why are we not walking in these things? We are trying to exhibit faith, but we don't see anything happening. It's like, how can a self-willed person exhibit faith and expect something to happen? It just doesn't work. It's not the faith of God. It's a different kind of faith that is not bringing forth the right kind of results. And therefore, we're wondering, why are we just, eating just enough manna every day to get by? And this is the wonderful thing about God, that even in our self-will, He usually gives us enough manna to get by. But I believe that God wants us to go beyond just eating manna, that which is just for today. I believe that God wants to fill us full. He wants to fill our cups full. He wants to bless us. He wants to daily load us with benefits. Amen? to daily load us with benefits. But the only way that I'm going to walk in those benefits that God has for me, the inheritance that God has for me, is to totally give myself to the destiny that He has for me. To give myself to those promises that He has laid before me. And to adjust my life to that. You see, being a kingdom person is what it's all about. And when you become a kingdom person, it affects the decisions that you make. It affects the choices that you make every day. You no longer make choices that have to do with the immediacy of the moment. You make choices and decisions that are based upon God's kingdom, that are based upon your destiny. See, what happens is that in many times the reason we get detoured, the reason we are being held back, is that we are making life decisions based on the circumstances of the moment rather than the calling and the election, the destiny that God has for us. There have been many times in my life as I was coming into the ministry that I had to make. I even turned down certain jobs because I knew that those jobs would be contrary to what God was doing in my life at that particular moment in relationship to the overall destiny that He had for me. And so I began to think and then I began to work from a kingdom perspective. And that's what we have to do. We have to have the kingdom perspective in our lives. We have to see our lives as God sees our lives. And we are able to do that. Why? Where are we seated? Let me ask you this morning, where are you seated today? I understand, yes, we are seated right here in this building. But in the Spirit, where are we seated? We're seated with Christ, aren't we? We're with Him. We're able to see everything that He sees. And that's where our life has to be. We have to see from His perspective. And we have to make decisions from that perspective. And when that begins to happen, guess what? We find ourselves now walking on this pathway that says destiny, purpose, calling, goodness, joy, financial provision, health, healing, all of these things. All of the inheritance that we have on God, all of those things are on that path. And we begin to partake of the provision that's on that path. And it begins to feed our spiritual man. It begins to sustain us. It gives us hope. It refreshes our spirit. But see, when I'm walking on this path over here of self-will, trying to advance in the kingdom, I'm constantly going against the grain. I'm constantly fighting against God and just picking up just enough to survive. You see, I believe God wants us to get beyond the survival mentality. Amen? And get into the kingdom life and all that it represents. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter that God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises. You see, we have to be able to see those promises. We have to keep those promises in our eyesight. And when we're looking at our life from God's perspective, we can't help but see the promises. But when we begin to look at our life through our carnal eyes and our own understanding, those promises are very dim. All we can see are the circumstances in which we are encumbered with. And we begin to lose hope, and we begin to lose faith, and we begin to get detoured, and we lose our way. And then we wonder why we are weak and why we feel beaten down and trodden down. It's because we're walking in our own strength rather than in His. See, there's so much more to walking in God's sufficiency than just saying, okay, I'm going to do it. It's a commitment. It's an understanding that everything you do is based upon kingdom life. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. See, there's a diligence that must go along with it in adding all these things to our faith. Again, my question to you today is, what's holding you back from fulfilling your destiny? What's holding me back from fulfilling my destiny? Is it fear? Is it apathy? Complacency? Is it bondage to sin? How many know that if I'm walking on the path of self-will, and even though I know that I don't want to sin, I continually find myself in that bondage to sin? Why is that? It's because I'm not walking in the power and the authority of God. I'm walking in my power. I'm walking in my authority. But when I'm over here and I'm walking in God's power and His authority, my attention is so focused on His destiny and His purpose and walking in the Spirit that the lusts of the flesh have no grip upon my life. And so all of these things hold us back. Complacency, apathy, bondage, debt. Again, walk over on this path and what happens? You end up really, a lot of times, going into debt. Because God is not necessarily there to meet your need. Because you're not walking on the path where His provision is at. And therefore, you're having to rely upon your own means to accomplish a blessing in your life. And it really doesn't work. And then there's some of us that are full of disillusion. We've been disillusioned. We've been let down. And somehow that is holding us back. Or maybe we've been wounded. We've been hurt. And now we're full of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. It's pretty hard to go forward when you have those things working in your life. Or maybe it's poor health. Or just no vision. No sense of purpose. Or just understanding and knowing that everything you do is a failure. You fail at everything. Repeated failures. And so after you fail enough times, you get wise. You say, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to try anymore. And you begin to have a give-up mentality. And you find a place of comfort. You find a rut to park yourself in. And after a while, even though that's a miserable rut, it becomes very comfortable. And it's hard to get out of it. And so again, it begins to hold you back from fulfilling that which God has for your life. And so, all of these things that I just mentioned are just symptoms. They're symptoms of a greater problem. And that problem is this. Is that you have lost your way, or we have lost our way in the process of fulfilling our destiny and purpose. And so when we lose our way, when we get lost, we begin to reap what we've sown. Let's face it. I mean, there are some wonderful promises in the kingdom, aren't there? There are some wonderful promises. There are some wonderful benefits. There are some wonderful blessings that God wants us to partake of. It says in Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. I want some of those benefits. Amen? Lord, you said you're going to daily load me with benefits. I mean, is that the Word of God? Or is it the Word of God? I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. I believe it's not only God's Word, but it's His Word to me. Amen? It's His Word to us. It's His Word to you as a church. That God wants to daily load this church with benefits. And, you know, here's the amazing thing. I believe this. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are linked together, doesn't it? It says our joints and our ligaments are all linked together. You get a group of people that really understand what it means to fulfill their destiny, you know what's going to happen? The destiny of the church is going to be fulfilled as well. You see, we could say too, what's holding God's destiny for this church back? What are the things that are holding it back? Then we have to go and we have to look at our individual lives. What's holding my life back? What are the things that are holding me back? Where have I strayed off course? What is going on in my life that I am not reaping the wonderful benefits that God has for me? In Psalm 36 and verse 8, it says, they are abundantly satisfied. I love this scripture. With the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the rivers of your pleasures. And then in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. All. What does that mean? That God will supply all your need. I believe it means exactly that. That whatever you have need of, the provision is right there on that path. And as soon as you walk to that place in the path where that provision is at, it's yours. But if you're missing the path, guess what? There's no provision. If you're walking that path of self-will, you're expecting to meet those needs in your own sufficiency. And our own sufficiency doesn't always work, does it? Because our own sufficiency is dependent upon all the circumstances that are going on around us. It's dependent upon the economic conditions that are going on around us. How many know that the provision that's on this path right here that leads to my destiny doesn't give a hoot about what's going on in the world? It doesn't matter. Because where is it coming from? It's coming from God, who is rich in all things, who never runs out of anything. It has nothing to do with the economic conditions of this world. But over here, it's dependent upon all that. It's dependent upon what's going on in the world. If our country or our city or our state or whatever begins to go through economic depression, guess what? It affects us. But over here, there is no effect because our provision is coming from the kingdom. Amen? There's a kingdom perspective, and we don't even look at those things because we don't care, because we have a God who is rich beyond measure. We're told in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine ourselves and to see whether we are in the faith. What does Paul mean? What are you saying, Paul? Of course I'm in the faith. Of course I was born again. Of course His Spirit was put in my life. I believe what he's saying is this. Are we walking in the path of faith? Or are we walking in a path of self-will? Is the path that we walk on require faith? I believe it should. You see, in order for God to take the faith of God to really take root in our hearts in the right way, it must be founded on the path that God has established for our lives. Did you get that? In order for the faith of God, I'm not talking about faith and faith or anything like that. I'm talking about faith in God. In order for the faith of God to take root in my heart, it has to be built and founded upon the path that leads to my destiny. And so when I get detoured from that destiny, it's going to affect me in every way. Because, see, here's the thing. We're wired for this path. Our DNA and everything is on this path. We're wired this way. But when we come into the kingdom of God, God rewires us. Did you know that? That the principles of the world no longer work in your life. Even though you may want to try to make them work, they won't work in your life anymore because you're not wired on that road. You're wired over here. And so there's a perfect fit. Because God created us, didn't He? He created us with a purpose. He created us with a sense of destiny. That we might fulfill it. And that we might have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. See, let me tell you something. Unless that attitude gets in you, you won't finish the course. Oh, you'll still be saved. So as by fire. How many want to be saved that way? Just barely making it. But I want to be so much more than that. I want to be a kingdom shaker. Amen? I believe God wants this church to be a kingdom shaker. That when people look at this church, they'll say, man, there is a church that's really on the move. Amen? They have a destiny. They have a purpose. They know where they're going. They walk that path. And I believe that when that begins to happen in a profound effect, that all you can do at that point is fasten your seatbelts and hold on and just watch what God is going to do. It's powerful. And so as a result, we begin, if we're walking over here, we begin to reap some of the things that I mentioned earlier, like fear, apathy, bondage, debt, disillusionment, wounds, poor health, bitterness, resentment. We need to ask ourselves, where did I go wrong? What turn did I miss? I don't think I've ever been lost. And you begin to go retrace your steps. We were up in Portland a year ago, seeing our son Dan. That is the craziest city, the way they laid that place out. I mean, my goodness. Somebody did not know what they were doing. We knew where we were supposed to go, but trying to get there was crazy. We got so lost and so upset. I mean, we were ready. It ruined our day, to tell you the truth. It did. But I can remember going back and tracing our steps. Where did we go wrong? And then trying to figure it out from there. And so many times that has happened. But let me tell you something. In the Spirit, we need to do that. Where did I miss? Where did I take the wrong turn? And go back and trace yourself. Trace your steps. Oh, yeah. That's what I was supposed to do. Now it's very clear. And so you go back and you begin to take those steps. And you find yourself back on the path that leads to your destiny. And so my goal here this morning is to share with you a common process we all go through. And if we're not careful, it's easy to lose our kingdom perspective and to settle into a state of complacency and thus never really entering into the destiny that God has for us. The process of fulfilling our destiny, phase one, goes something like this. God saves us, amen? I mean, He puts us into the bubble of mercy. He surrounds us with His love. You know, we're saved. We're filled with faith. We're filled with hope. I mean, life is great. Amen? How many remember your first love with the Lord when He first saved you? How wonderful that was. What a season that was. And you began to move along. And it almost seemed like walking in repentance was an easy thing to do. You know why? Because you were a babe. You know what happens with babies? They don't do too much, do they? They just eat, drink, sleep, and poop, and that's about it. You know, everything is taken care of for them. They're fed. They're diapered. Everything. They don't do a thing. They don't have to do anything. They're babies. Amen? How many know that when we come into the kingdom of God, we're babies? We don't do too much. And we think, boy, this is great. This is wonderful. God's doing everything. He's just doing such mighty and wonderful things in my life. And then as we begin to move along, we begin to grow up a little bit. And guess what happens? God begins to withdraw a little bit. He begins to withdraw a little bit. You know why? Because it's time now for you to work with Him. It's time now for you not to be so dependent. I mean, we want to be dependent on Him, but we are in a laboring together process with God. Is that right? We are laboring together with Him. And a lot of people, what happens is that when you go through that time of transition like that, is that they get lost. Because they are so used to God doing everything. And they begin to get lost. And then Satan, he's no dummy. How many figured that one out? You don't think Satan knows when you're going through that time of transition? Sure he knows. What did he tell Jesus? When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he tempted him with all these different things. And then when Jesus, full of the Spirit, full of the Word of God, resisted the temptation, Satan departed. And said he would wait for a more opportune time. You see, Satan waits for those opportune moments in our lives because he knows that those are probably the times when he's going to get us sidetracked. The times where he is going to, you know, do something in our life that's going to hinder what God is doing. And so here we are. We're going along. We're enjoying life in God. We're enjoying life in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, wham, boom, you know, where'd that come from? I just got blindsided. Satan steps up his attack. And we wonder, ooh, where's God? Where's God? You know what Job said, don't you? Job said, I look forward, I look sideways, I look this way, I look that way, and God was nowhere around. He didn't sense God. But in the midst of that, you know what Job did? He esteemed the Word of God more important than his necessary food. You see, the only thing that's going to prevent you from being blindsided, see, prior to that, you're coming up that trail and you have this sense of invincibility. And you feel like that you are indestructible. That Satan cannot hurt you. How many have ever listened to that album by Bob Dylan years ago, Saved? I'm not talking about that song in particular, but there's a song on there called What Can I Do For You? And in that song, he says, I don't care how rough the road is. I don't care how many darts the enemy throws. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. But you know what? There was a moment of transition in his life. And Satan got him. I don't know where he's at today. I don't know. Only God can be the judge of all that. But I know that something happened that detoured him from his destiny in God when he was going through that moment of transition. And that happens in all of our lives. It happens, you know, at that point I'm talking about right there, but there are other times in our life where we sense such an overwhelming sense of God's presence, and then when we lose that, we think that we've lost God, where in fact we haven't. That God just wants to know what's really in our hearts. He wants to test us. He wants to try us. He wants to bring forth all of those impurities out of our life so that our character will come forth as gold that's tried. Amen? that it will be pure, so that when we get to that day at the end of our destiny, we will have our character intact as well. And so we're going along in this process, and Satan hits us hard. Trials and temptations begin to come. The parable of the sower illustrates this. It speaks of the seed that was sown on the rocky soil. There was no depth. And so what we have to do when we are walking with God in the fullness of His presence, we have to make sure that the seeds are being planted deep. How does that happen? Through His Word. Through prayer. Through that relationship that we have with Him. We develop that during those times. And then we really develop it during the other times as well. Paul said in Acts 14, here's a destiny person if we ever saw one. He says in Acts 14, he had just been through, he'd been planting churches and experienced all this wonderful success. And, before he knew it, he's getting rocks thrown at him and, every other thing that you can think of. When I say rocks thrown at him, he was literally stoned to death. And he comes back and he visits his church and he says, man, it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. You see, that has to be a part of our kingdom perspective, that we understand that trials and tribulations are going to come, and that we count it as joy when we enter those trials and tribulations, because it's during those seasons that God is going to plant a deeper thing in our lives. That destiny that He is giving to us is going to be planted deep. You see, if we can walk with God, how's it say in Jeremiah? If in the land of peace you weren't able to do it, how's it going to be in the swelling of the Jordan? If you can't walk with the footman, how are you going to run with the horseman? You see, if we can't serve God faithfully when everything is going well, how is it going to be when nothing goes well? Because let me tell you, as sure as I'm standing here today, you will experience those times if you have not already. And I'm sure most of you have. And that you understand that it's during those times that God is desiring to do a great work in your life. Okay, we need to get going here. And so, we get past this time. And we get to the next step. And you get up there, that next plateau, you're there, but you're a wreck. You are a wreck. You are severely disillusioned. You even wonder at this point, is this really worth it? What did I get myself in for? How many have ever come to that place where you said, what am I doing? I could do a lot better just going back into the world. Isn't that what happened to the Israelites when they were in Egypt, when the going got tough? They began to think, oh boy, remember those onions. I can't imagine why that would be such a good thing. But remember the leeks and the watermelons and all of those things. They began to remember all the good and not the bad. And that's what we have a tendency to do. And so our affection, see, begins to go back. And so we get to that moment of crisis right there. And that is a place that we all come to. I call this place right here the eternal entrapment. We get to that place in our life where we realize we're too far into this to get out. We know too much. We understand too much. We've tasted of the heavenly gift. We've tasted of the powers to come. We've tasted of, the things that God has for us. And we know His Word, hopefully, at this point. And so we realize that now we're like Paul, where he says, I have become a prisoner of the Lord. And that's really what God wants, isn't He? He wants us to be His prisoners. that we are totally committed to Him. And so we get to this place. Oh, let me go over here to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, let's read Hebrews 10 and verse 35 where it says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." How many know at that point there's a great temptation to cast away your confidence? There's a great temptation to go back. There's a great temptation to be detoured. Maybe not to give up your salvation or anything like that, but to just go back to a place where it's comfortable and you think you're going to be left alone. How many know you never get left alone? You can't run from God. I tried it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Every time I would try to run from God, He would be right there. He'd always be right there. I could sense it. There He was. I thought I was running from you. He says, "Well, I knew right where you were going." And He does. And He's always right there to catch us. God is so merciful. He's so graceful. He works with us. He's so patient. He's so long-suffering. I mean, if it weren't for that, we would all be in a miserable state, wouldn't we? And then it says in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And so we have two major choices that we can make at this point. This is a great challenge. This is where our faith is challenged. We have to really plant our feet at this time. We have to say, "I am going for it, no matter what. No matter what, I am going for it." And we can take a time out. That's one of the choices that we can do. We can take a time out and just say, "You know, it's time to get restored. It's time to get built back up." See, the other choice isn't necessarily a conscientious choice. It's a default because you don't choose the right one. I don't think anybody just absolutely says, "I'm not going to serve God anymore." It's a progressive thing that begins to happen in our lives because of the wrong choice that we made concerning His will and His purpose. And so we need to wait on God. Isaiah 40 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's what we need to do, is just wait on God. Allow Him to restore us. Allow Him to strengthen that which is weak. The other choice is to begin to walk in the flesh. And that's what we do. Paul says in Galatians, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh?" It doesn't work. But this is what we have to do at this point. In order to get off that plateau and get moving with God again, we have to go to Hebrews chapter 12, where it says in verse 12, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated." In other words, this is what's hard, is that here you are hurting. Amen? You're hurt. You've been wounded. Somebody has stabbed you in the back. Somebody has let you down. Satan has thrown his darts at you, and they have had their effect, and you have gotten up to that plateau, but you are severely wounded. And how are you going to go forward in that state of mind? There comes a time where we have to get it together. We have to focus our thoughts on God, but there comes a time where we have to just say, "I don't care how hurt I am. I don't care how wounded I am. I'm going to lift up the hands that hang down. I'm going to make straight paths for my feeble knees. And I'm going to walk." Amen? I'm going to pursue. And as we begin to pursue, as you begin to take those steps of faith, guess what begins to happen? That which was wounded, that which was, bound up and hurt and everything else, begins to get healed. But if I just sit there and I begin to nurse my hurts and, oh, woe is me, I'm just going, you know, everything's going wrong, this is no good. You know what happens? You just get further wounded. That which is lame becomes dislocated. And then you've got some real pain to deal with. You've got some real issues at that point. There is a major detour that's happened because of that lack of persistence. That lack that says, I'm too beaten down. Nobody will even come and pray for me. You know what? Don't put your faith in what other people are supposed to do. Because no matter how good people are, they're going to let you down. They're not always going to be there when you need them. But there is somebody that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. He'll always be there. And he'll be there to restore. He'll be there to breathe life into your spirit. He's there for you today. Amen. And so how do we do this? First of all, we humble ourselves. We cry out to God. We learn to walk with Him in humility. 1 Peter 5 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And then we allow God to breathe His purpose, His destiny into our life with a fresh kingdom perspective. We begin to see our life as He sees it. And then we get single-minded in our approach to God. Let me tell you something. One of the things that distracts us, that holds us back from fulfilling our destiny, is that we're not single-minded. We begin at this point to set our affection on so many other things. And then we begin to go in so many other directions. And we find ourselves, man, our life is just so full of ourselves now that it's hard to get back on that path. And we have to do a real emptying thing to get back on that path where all of God's substance and sustenance is at. Amen? Where He's healing, where He's restoring, where He's doing all of these wonderful things. And so, as we close this morning, in Psalms 27 and verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in times of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me on a high rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all the enemies around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing praises to the Lord. And so when we make that commitment, when we come to that place where we sell out to God and we get ourselves back on His destiny, back on that path, we find ourselves heading back up the hill again. And you know what? We're going strong. Because, you know, it's no more a thing where we're just in our ignorance anymore, where we're just dumb and happy. I mean, I started out in this thing just dumb and happy, thinking that that's all there was to it. But after a while, I figured out, you just can't stay dumb and happy and hope to make it. Because we have an enemy who will see to it that you will get very, very discouraged. But when you take the time to wait on God, accept the challenge, to move forward, you begin to understand what Romans 5 is all about. You begin to understand what it really means to press into the kingdom, to take the kingdom by force. Or it says in Luke 16, since the time of the kingdom of God, it has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. In Philippians 3, where Paul says, I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what you have to do? You have to forget about all that garbage. Because that will hold you back. It will weigh you down. And every time, you know, Satan sees that opportune moment, he's going to come and he's going to try again. And fill your mind with your failures, with your setbacks, so that he can try and detour you again. But this time you know, you understand. Produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And then we come to that place in Romans 8 where it says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. It doesn't matter anymore what comes against your way, because you are a kingdom person. You have a destiny. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Amen? You have conquered the devil. You have realized that all he is just, you know, a big liar. And that his darts do not have to have an effect upon your life. That when you're walking in God's purpose and his understanding, fulfilling your destiny, that there is nothing that Satan can do that can hurt you. Look at the Apostle Paul on the island there when the snake jumped up on him and tried to bite him and tried to kill him. Paul shook it off. You know why? Paul knew that his time on this earth was not over. He knew that his destiny at that point was not finished. He had a sense of purpose, a sense of destiny, and that is where his faith was at. And because of that, the enemy had no effect on him. How many of us have such a strong sense of destiny and purpose that nothing in this world can come against us? Nothing that the devil throws against us can have its effect, because we know that we have not fulfilled that which God has placed in our lives. I remember Bob Mumford said one time, whenever he flew, he liked to ask the pilot whether he had unfulfilled prophecy in his life. Amen. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? He says, fight a good warfare by the prophecies that have gone over you. Let me tell you something. We all have unfulfilled prophecy in our lives. And if we're walking in that path in which that prophecy, the prophetic word of God, is going to be fulfilled, there's nothing that the enemy can do to hold us back. Amen. And so I ask you today, what is holding your destiny back? What's holding you back? Go find out, amen? And get back on the path that God has for you. And you will experience the blessing of God, being daily loaded with benefits. Amen? Let's pray. Amen. If you agree with this word this morning, I want you to stand and just say, amen. This is for me. Father, I thank you for these people today. God, this is a people, Lord, that I believe love your word, that love what you're doing in their lives. I pray, God, that you would so much sow in their lives that which is lacking. Bring them to the place, Lord God, where they can retrace their steps and say, oh, I missed it here. Help me, Lord, to get back on step with you, back on the path with you, Lord. God, touch each and every person today. Personalize your destiny, your purpose in each one of their lives, so that they might know, God, that what you have laid before them is from you and not themselves. Bless them now in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Glory to the King, my greatest. Didn't you appreciate that word? I know I really did. It's such a challenge to each of our hearts. I think a big key of that is, no matter where we are on this path, the key is that it's a decision we have to make. And a decision that, no matter what, that we're going to follow God. We know that there's an enemy out there. We know that there is a side of us that is reluctant or not willing to follow God in those ways and wants to follow our own ways. We have to decide. We have to come to that point that was spoken of where we decide, I will not turn back. I will not go to that way. I will not settle for less than what God has for me. God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us here. And we don't either, any of us, want to be sidetracked. If we're on that path, as you said, if we're each individually on that path, we know that our church ends up on being on that path as well. And God has a plan for this church. He has a plan for each of our lives. So let's just feel that today. Let's just say that in our heart. God, we want to follow you. We will follow you, Lord. Wherever you go, oh God, Father, you know our hearts. Father, search us inside and know in the secret places of our heart, oh God, where we are on this path. Lord, we will not turn back. We will not go to our own ways, oh God. Show us, teach us. You are the teacher, Lord. Teach us the ways that we should walk. Lord, let your life live through us, oh God. Hallelujah. We just commit this to you right now. We, Holy Spirit, just seal it to our hearts. Let us not go from here and forget what is spoken, Lord. Let us not go from here and forget what you have said to each of our hearts. Father, we commit this time to you. We commit this day, this moment, that it shall be represent a change in our hearts and our lives, a day of decision to not turn back and to continue to press in to know you, to follow hard after you all of our days, Lord. We will not rest. We will contend for those promises that you have spoken over our lives. We thank you for those words, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You watch over your word to perform it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we just thank Ken and Lydia for coming with and being with us today, for that word, for his obedience and sharing that. And I know that it was challenging. It meant a lot, because I know that was born out of experience. It had a lot of depth to it. And as we go from here today, let's just not forget this day. This is going to be a day we're all going to remember. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Just go in the love of God. Just have a great week. Love one another in Jesus' name.